This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of July 14th, 2024. Republicans from across the country coming together in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this week for the Republican National Convention. The Arkansas Democrat Gazette will have coverage of the event, catching up with the top GOP figures from the natural state as Republicans formally nominate Donald Trump as their nominee for president. You can stay up to date with all the action throughout the week at ArkansasOnline.com and tune in to next week's Arkies in the Beltway for a convention recap. In Washington, lawmakers were busy during their return to Capitol Hill following their Independence Day break. Senator Tom Cotton of Little Rock introduced legislation to mandate reviews of federal court cases and agency decisions reliant on a Supreme Court precedent. For four decades, the nation's high court and lower courts had abided by the Chevron deference, meaning courts defer to agencies' interpretation of laws in situations when Congress had not approved clear and specific language in policy. The Supreme Court threw out that 1984 decision late last month. Chief Justice John Roberts saying courts cannot defer to an agency's understanding just because a law is ambiguous. Cotton's bill would require the Government Accountability Office and federal agencies to prepare reports identifying matters when federal courts have relied on the original Chevron case to reach an outcome. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs leading a bipartisan effort in the House of Representatives addressing cell phone use in schools. The Focus on Learning Act calls on the Department of Education to study the effects of allowing cell phones in the classroom in hopes of creating phone-free spaces. Senator Cotton and Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine introduced similar legislation last November. The United States and Mexico reaching a deal to protect steel and aluminum from Chinese efforts to enter North American markets and circumvent tariffs. The nations will require any steel imports from Mexico to be melted and poured in the U.S., Mexico, or Canada, and aluminum imports must contain primary aluminum smelt and cast in these countries. The agreement to address China's entry into North America by shipping products to Mexico rather than pay American tariffs. Lael Brainard serves as the director of the National Economic Council. She says China created an issue with its steel production efforts and is trying to pass off the problem by placing goods in other markets.
China's producing more steel than China or the world can easily absorb, and its subsidies are leading to export surges into foreign markets at artificially low prices. China's simply too big to play by its own rules.
The policy getting different receptions from two Arkansas lawmakers, Representative Rick Crawford of Jonesboro sharing cautious optimism. The Congressional Steel Caucus chairman says Mexico holds a fair share of responsibility in ensuring American goods are protected.
So I'm going to try and view this as glass half full. I mean, what we're trying to do here is to make sure that we're playing on a level playing field, but this requires an awful lot of trust.
Senator Cotton doubts if the Biden administration's policy will prevent a surge in foreign steel entering the United States. Crawford and Cotton introduced bipartisan legislation in March to reimpose a 25% duty on Mexican steel imports for 1 year, citing foreign products affecting the American steel industry. Senators have their eyes on regulating digital commodities. The Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee discussed possible options for federal oversight during a hearing last Wednesday. The committee has jurisdiction over commodity markets, including those involving digital assets. Lawmakers and regulators have been pushing to close the current regulatory void, made apparent by the collapse of cryptocurrency exchange FTX in November 2022. Senator John Bozeman of Rogers serves as the Senate Agriculture Committee's top Republican.
You know, like so many other things, you want to get something done, but you want to get a good product. And this is something that's not going to go away. You know, it's here. And regardless of, you know, how you feel about it, like I say, it is something that's here. What we don't want to do is make it such that it goes, it can't compete in the United States, goes overseas where you don't have the ability to regulate it at all.
Because of the Senate Agriculture Committee's limited jurisdiction, any legislation solely from the committee would not address regulatory gaps in full. The Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee would also have a valuable voice in putting together any future measure. The House approved a bill in May to clarify the roles of federal agencies in overseeing transactions involving digital assets and registering parties involved in deals. Representative Franchel of Little Rock helped introduce that legislation. As senators discussed the need for regulation, Hill walked into the committee's hearing room to take in the conversation. The Democrat Gazette spoke to Hill as he left the hearing.
We got a strong bipartisan vote in the House and spent 2 years working very carefully on a regulatory framework. I think that work is certainly recognized by the Senate. They were impressed by the bipartisan nature of our work. And we obviously have to have support in both the Senate Ag Committee and the Senate Banking Committee before we can have success here in the Senate.
Bozeman appreciative of Hill's effort in Congress's lower chamber.
This stuff is so complex. And the problem is, you know, you solve one problem, create another problem. But they did a really good job of bringing a product forward. It's not perfect, but it's a good step in the right direction.
The Senate Agriculture Committee is operating with limited time to get a bipartisan proposal together in this Congress. Committee members have yet to reach an agreement on a new farm bill, with members split on spending on nutrition programs and conservation. Another issue needing to be addressed during Congress's limited time in the second half of the year, spending. The House Appropriations Committee has approved all 12 spending bills reflecting the goals of the chamber's Republican majority. Representative Steve Womack of Rogers is a senior House appropriator, leading the Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. He acknowledges how unusual it is for the committee to accomplish this feat with 2.5 months left in the current fiscal year.
And I don't think it's a stretch to say that we have brought respect back to the appropriations process.
The House will need to reach an agreement with the Democrat-led Senate in terms of priorities. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole of Oklahoma recognizes this challenge.
So we've got our negotiating position. We literally could go to conference now on the basis of what we've done.
The Senate Appropriations Committee is working on its spending measures. Committee members last Thursday advanced a bill covering military infrastructure and veterans care. Senator Bozeman is the ranking member of the affiliated subcommittee. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of July 14th, 2024. A reminder, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will have coverage of this week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. You can follow along at arkansasonline.com. Special thanks, as always, to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.